Last Sunday night when I went to bed, God started stirring in me that today I was supposed to tell you a certain story. I told God Tom would never let me do it because he would think I was going to talk too long. But God just wouldn't let up. And he told me to go back and listen to the message Tom gave you last week. You may remember I wasn't here. So I decided that meant that if I listened to Tom's message and there was something in it that would lead me to believe that he would allow me to be up here today, I would ask him if I could share with you. Well, so I listened to his sermon, and his topic was, the Lord is doing a new thing. I also heard him tell you that, hey, if there's any of you that have something that you feel like God is leading you to let him know, and he'll make sure that you can do it. So Monday morning rolls around, and he's getting ready for the day, and I go in, and I say, dear, I'd like to do a special Sunday. He said, what kind of special? I said, I want to tell a story. I heard a moan. He said, how long of a story? I can't really say for sure. He said, well, if God wants you to tell a story, he'll let me know. Well, here I am to tell you a story. Most of you know that I'm writing a book about the bus. I was given the bus in March, but about July, mid-July, I started recognizing there was a merging of two stories coming together as one. I would like to read a portion of that book that I have written so that you can see what I mean. The day that Tom drove the bus to Chad's house, Chad McLean's house, for him to begin the inside transformation, as soon as he pulled into his driveway, smoke came rolling out from under the bus. In my eyes, I saw more than rolling smoke. I saw the converging of two stories becoming one, and I did not like what I saw at all. 6 months earlier, Tom retired from his day job, getting his first post-retirement physical. His blood test showed his PSA was elevated. Tom's dad died having aggressive prostate cancer. We knew the scene, and it wasn't pretty. The doctor advised Tom to wait 3 months to get another blood test to see if his count would increase any. The second test did show an increase. On the day the smoke came billowing out from under the bus, we were waiting to receive MRI results. Wanting to shelter his mother from any worry, we told only a few people what the doctor was watching for. We had high hopes there would be no reason to raise alarm. But after seeing the smoke, I lost it and I was fearing the worst. You see, halfway to Brazil that day, a trip we've made thousands of times down here, there was a first for us. Tom had to pull off to the side of the road to relieve himself. And standing guard with my back to my husband, what I had been prevented from knowing for months came to light. He tried passing it off as having eaten too much watermelon, but I heard his struggle. We had been in a 6-month waiting period, waiting to learn what was really going on with him. Yet it wasn't until that moment on our bus stop that worry for Tom really set in. What I saw billowing from the rear of the bus that day was a smoke signal indicating we were to put on the brakes, stop the work, that everything we dreamed, believed, and hoped for the future was going up in smoke. I presumed the results of the MRI was going to bring bad news, indicating that all of our time, focus, and energy was going to be spent on getting Tom well. Getting down, depressed, and worried opened a door for Satan to come in and mess with my mind. Outside our bedroom window sits a tree with its main core and support completely dead. But off to the right and off to the left are branches that are fully thriving. That next morning, still waiting to receive the MRI results, I was looking out the window at that tree. I heard a voice. It said that branch to the right represents your church, this church. The branch to the left represents your ministry, Emmanuel Quilt Ministry. And that main core, that main center, that dead part represents Tom. I spiraled into the pit of despair, unable to do anything but cry. All I could manage to mutter was, "Lord, lift me up." It was enough. The next morning, looking out at that same tree, I heard a different voice and a very different message. I heard, "Tom is not the main support of the church. He is not the main support of your ministry. I am, and I'm not dead." Amen. It was that quickly that God lifted me from the pit in which I'd fallen. I went in to sit at the kitchen table to read my Bible. I could see Tom sitting in a lawn chair outside under a different tree with an empty lawn chair beside him. It appeared he was praying. I began reading Judges chapter 6. Quickened by the Spirit, words jumped out, making me believe I was witnessing a conversation taking place between Tom and the Lord. The text said, "An angel of the Lord came and sat with Gideon under the tree. The angel told him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' Gideon wasn't feeling too mighty and wanted to know if the Lord was with him, why attacks were coming at him. We had asked the same questions concerning the bus and now even with Tom. The words God responded to Gideon, I visualized him speaking to Tom in these phrases, 'Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? I will be with you. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die.'" December 1st, 3 days after us having the bus and the parade, and 11 months after the doctor first started watching Tom's PSA levels, we got the news that he had cancer. The biopsy done the week before confirmed it. The next day, we were in the doctor's office with the doctor recommending that Tom start radiation treatment. Wanting to follow God's lead, we paused to consult with the Lord what action we were to take. I asked the Lord, "In which name of Jesus should I be praying?" He quoted for me his names found in Isaiah 9:6. I heard him say, "You are to pray in the names of the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." A few nights later, I clearly heard God tell me that the answers we seek are in the title of the book I'm writing about the bus. Well, this book, it's titled Faith to Believe. A true tale of promise, provision, purpose, plan, and perseverance. I spent the next 4 hours jotting down Bible verses on God's promises, provision, purpose, and plans concerning healing. I knew the perseverance part fell on each individual. I jotted those verses down too. I ended up jotting more than 50 Bible verses to guide us on this journey. And I've actually compiled them on a sheet. If you're interested in having a copy, I've laid them back there on the back table. Faith to believe really isn't about the bus. It encompasses a much larger story. I just keep hearing God say, look, I gifted you the bus, the full wrap graphic, the labor to have it built, the flooring, the cushions, the sound, and I even gifted you a place to store it for free. If I did all of this for a bus, which is just a piece of metal, how much more do you think that I'll do for those who love me, who I made in my image? God didn't just gift the bus in part. He gave it all. Therefore, considering all that God has done, I'm expecting nothing less than a miracle healing for Tom. I know that there's people in this room. Cancer, you've had it for 9 years. I know, you know, Tom, there's others. But there's also those that have lung issues and heart issues and leg issues, breathing issues, you know, all sorts of issues. I would ask you to consider sticking around for anointing and prayer. Let's show God that we have the faith to believe that he can turn our grim to good as we stand on the promises of God, because they're all yes and amen.